Hello, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m., or you can get more information by looking at our website, tulsafbc.org. May the Lord bless you this week.
So will you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Our scripture reading today comes from Genesis 2, 22 through 25, 3, 6 through 10, 21, and Galatians 3, 27 through 28. Then the Lord God made the rib he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This one, at last, is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, for she was taken from man." This is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds with his wife, and they become one flesh. Both the man and his wife were naked, yet felt no shame. The woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So the Lord God called out to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked. So I hid." The Lord God made clothing out of skins for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. For those of you who are baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. There is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Lord God, we thank you that you are our Father and that we are your children. And just like the best examples of human parenthood, you have infinite compassion for us. We are insolent, we think we know what's best, and we ignore your voice, and our sin breaks your heart over and over and over again. But every time we hide from you out of shame and fear, you seek us out, letting us know that you refuse to let go of those who belong to you. You comfort us, you console us, you clothe us, because we are your children. Though we can never go back to the garden, help us to daily lay our lives and our hearts bare before you. Help us to see you as our loving parent. Help us to trust you, to be vulnerable before you, to be completely dependent on you. Help us to daily walk with you, and when we choose to hide instead, remember us, Lord. Come and find us. We pray these things to our Father, through the Son, and by the Spirit. Amen.
Thanks so much. You may be seated. So some of you know the trilogy by J.R.R. Tolkien, the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Some of you have read it. If not, you have seen the movies. It took about 17 years for Tolkien to write this trilogy of books. He wrote it in his attic. And get this, he wrote it on a manual typewriter using two fingers. And imagine 17 years pecking away at a typewriter like that. It makes you appreciate every single word that he wrote. So here we have a book that written over the course of 1,400 years, 40 men and women contributing 750,000 words. This was not only low tech, this was no tech, as people wrote this out by hand for us to have today. And every single word matters. But is there a way to take just, say, 10 of those words? And with each of those words, each of them has a unique way of telling the entire story. So today's word is the one, go ahead and get your giggles out in advance, naked. And nobody's giggling. That's weird. Maybe you're too nervous to giggle. So I want to know when I'm going to stop having that dream. And the dream takes several different forms. One is it's Sunday morning and I'm supposed to get up and preach and I can't find my Bible. Okay. Or it's Sunday morning and I forgot Sunday was coming and I'd not written a sermon. Or Sunday morning, I'm up here preaching, I have my Bible, but I am missing some critical piece of clothing, right? So after today, I can literally say I've preached naked. And I preached about naked. You are not playing with me this morning. Come on, have fun with this, all right? So naked, the first time it shows up in the Bible, and I'm going to regret what I just said a little. Should I use that in the second service that I preached naked? Yeah, okay, I'm getting some thumbs up. Yeah, we want to see how quickly you get fired, Darren. Yeah, good job. So the first time naked shows up in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 2. It's not a dream. It's a reality. It's not a nightmare. It's actually something very, very good. Here's what is said. Both the man and his wife were naked and they felt no shame. Now, I hope you know that this is not just physical nakedness. Okay. This is deeper than that. Adam and Eve saw each other completely as they were. They had nothing to hide from one another. And they were perfectly at ease with one another, and they enjoyed each other. There were no barriers in their relationship. They could be authentic with one another and be at ease. Henry Rousseau was an artist in the late 1800s. He painted typically some very primitive jungle scenes, and he was very misunderstood and ridiculed during his lifetime, and a lot of his artwork was not considered worth anything. But he had one fan. His fan was Pablo Picasso. And one day, walking down a street in France, Picasso passed by a canvas shop and he noticed a painting, a portrait of a French woman, and he understood Rousseau well enough to know that that was a Rousseau. The woman in the store was just selling it as a spare canvas. She said, "You can paint over it, not a big deal." He said, "Oh, okay." And he bought it for just a couple bucks. And it was a Rousseau. And to him and to the world, it would soon become priceless. What would it be like to see another person and to see only a masterpiece? Listen, when you met your mate, at first you just thought they were perfect, didn't you? And then you got to know them. But wouldn't it be great that as you got to know them, that they became more and more of a masterpiece? That was Adam and Eve, that the more and more they got to know each other, their relationship was effortless. They were at ease and they saw only a masterpiece in one another. Well, and then sin came into the picture. And again, sin is not primarily breaking rules. Sin is breaking of a relationship, and sin created distance between humanity and God. But sin also created distrust between Adam and Eve. So the naked shows up again, this time after sinfulness. And the eyes of both of them were opened. And they knew they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So I won't go into this too much, but the word naked used in Genesis 2 and in Genesis 3 are different words. Something changed. And now they did not like what they saw in each other. So about 10 years ago, we were on another side of the world. We were in Greece and we went to this little island called Mykonos and we went to the beach there and we intentionally stayed at a place that was family friendly. It was a family friendly Greek beach. And let's just say that the Greek definition of family friendly is not the American definition of family friendly. We walk out on the beach the first day, and I've got an 11-year-old daughter and an 8-year-old son and a 5-year-old son, and all of them were doing this. All right. So I learned several things. We were there for 3 days. I learned how resilient children are. Pretty soon, they didn't notice anything. They just kind of, it became a part of the landscape. We learned very quickly you had to be careful when you took pictures because you had to consider what was in the background. And also, I became incredibly grateful for clothing. Because most people, nudity is not all it's cracked up to be. Probably should choose a little different wording for that next time I say that. Right? Because you see other people and they're just not pretty, are they? All right. I know some preachers say, you know, they're not nervous. They imagine their audience naked, you know, when they I don't want to do that. Ugh. All right. We see other things in people that we don't like. And Adam and Eve saw each other and they didn't like what they saw. The masterpiece had been marred. But not only that, they saw something in themselves that they didn't like. I'll show you a picture. We were traveling, family and I were traveling about a year ago. Here's my daughter taking a selfie. You see who's there in the background? That's me taking a selfie. I don't know if she took this on purpose or she just accidentally captured this, but I saw this and I cringed. I have never taken a selfie again. Now, if you're in the picture with me, sure, we'll take a picture. But I, once I saw this picture, I'm like, I am never taking a selfie again because I don't like what I see in myself right there. You know what I see in myself? Selfishness. So Adam and Eve saw something they didn't like in each other. They saw something they didn't like in themselves. And this experience is called shame. That's what we call it. When we don't like what we see in others, because really it's just the same thing we see in ourselves, and they became ashamed, then what did they do? They took fig leaves and they made covering for themselves. Now, I know you've seen this depicted in all the Sunday school pictures. Let me say, first of all, fig leaves, largest leaf in that part of the world. That's why it was used, the most coverage. But fig leaves get brittle pretty quick. You want to talk about a terrible choice of clothing. Brittle. Uncomfortable. So I want you to just think about the way we try to cover ourselves today. Okay? The way we try to cover our shame. Now, there's several ways that we do this. We still do it with clothes, don't we? We have to wear certain labels, you know, to look like we're something that we're not. Or wear the power tie to show we're in charge. We even say things like, the clothes make the man. What are we saying with that? We use clothes, we use possessions. That if we surround ourselves with enough cool stuff, it will somehow accentuate our importance. We use online media. How many of us curate very carefully the image that we develop online? What we want other people to see so that they'll think certain things about us. I read a book a couple of years ago called So You've Been Publicly Shamed. And these are people who have had unflattering images or information on the internet put out about them. You can never take that back. You can never get it back. But you can hire companies that will go out and work the algorithms to push those web results way far down so future employers and people who matter never really see them. It's interesting how we curate an image and it makes us tired and it makes us uncomfortable. What are we trying to cover up? Here's what we're trying to cover up. We're trying to cover up the fact that we're all messed up. All of us in here, we are trying to cover up the fact that we are messy, messed up people. In fact, it's my idea. I would love to have a Come As You Are Sunday. Where it was really that, you just roll out of bed, put on some PJs, and come to church. I imagine it would be a low attendance Sunday on that day. I don't have too much to worry about. This always looks the same. This is it. You don't have to worry about this. But to show up with our bad breath and our disheveled appearance, unshaved, unclean, unwashed, in other words, as we really are. What do? We are still trying to cover ourselves up today. So this thing that we experience between each other is called shame. The nakedness that we feel before God is a thing called guilt. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. By the way, we often picture this as just this nice gentle breeze flowing through the Garden of Eden. I want you to picture a windstorm coming. You don't hide from a breeze. But when you feel the windstorm, last summer, it was on a Wednesday night. We were under tornado warning. Everyone was huddled down in the fellowship hall. By the way, the fellowship hall is the place you want to be when we're under tornado warning. This building is not going anywhere. So everyone was huddled in the fellowship hall, and me and a friend were out front at the north entrance, watching the clouds begin to swirl around. That's what we do. You're out there with your cell phones, right? Looking at all the clouds. And all of a sudden, the wind picked up exponentially. I mean, it went from bad to worse. Here it comes. My friend and I said, we better go inside. We turned around. We're right by the cafe doors. We turned around and they were locked. And I think I saw some of you inside laughing at us and pointing. Something about the wind, we instantly want to go inside. We want to take shelter, right? So here, God coming in the windstorm, here he comes. Adam and Eve look for a place to hide. So the Lord God called out to the man and said, "Where are you? I heard you. I was afraid because I was naked. I hid." Whereas humanity experienced shame with each other, here humanity experienced guilt. They knew what they had done was wrong. Now it's interesting here to see the dialogue. God doesn't bring across instant judgment. He asks questions. Who told you you were naked? Did you eat from the fruit I told you not to eat from? He asks all these questions. And you know what happens? Adam and Eve, just as they covered themselves with fig leaves, covered themselves with some pretty flimsy verbal excuses. Adam said, "That woman you gave me." And the woman said, "That snake you created." Basically, what they used was this excuse. Boy, this is a gem. Everyone's doing it. You know what? For followers of Jesus, everyone is doing it. That should be the very reason to avoid a certain act rather than our justification for doing it. So they cover themselves with some really flimsy verbal excuses. And God is still gracious. What does he do? Now he does expel them from the garden. There is distance created between our relationship and that of God. He does allow disgrace to take place among humanity and everything begins to be broken, but God is gracious. The Lord God made clothing. This is as he sends them out of the garden from skins for the man and his wife, and he clothed them. Now, there's something very obvious here. Skins work better than fig leaves, so God is being very gracious. But there's something more subtle here. This is the first occurrence or the first hint in the Bible toward animal sacrifice. The only way an animal gives up its skin is if you take its life. And here, it's the shedding of innocent blood that provides a covering for humanity. I really hope you know where this is going now. What happened years later? What happened 2,000 years ago? Well, we see somebody else naked. They stripped him. Then they crucified him and divided his clothes, casting lots for them to decide what each would get. You know, we've made a crucifixion scene PG-13 when really it was rated much worse. Jesus was crucified naked. Naked. You know what this means? This means that he experienced the worst shame that humanity can dole out. It means that all the guilt of humanity was put on him. And as Jesus is before us naked, he exposes us to who God really is. See my hands. See my feet. See my face. See my side. See my heart. And Jesus offers his skin for us. The blood sacrifice of the innocent so that we may be covered and protected. So I count four times in the New Testament that we are invited to be clothed. This is one of them, and this is my favorite. For those who are baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. You see, God providing a sacrifice to cover our nakedness. There's now no Jew or Greek or slave or free or male or female, since we are all one in Christ. I want you to notice the second part of this verse, because this is where we still live. We are still trying to cover ourselves with being prideful about our race or our descent or our pedigree. We still try to cover ourselves with our level of success, slave or free, or, you know what, with our status and culture. All of those things that cause so many tension in our society really don't matter. In here, there's no black or white. In here, there's no male or female. And here there is no affluent and there are no losers. We all have only one covering, and it is that of Jesus Christ. He covers and he becomes who we really are. So most of you know the name Louis Braille. Louis Braille invented the raised lettering system for the blind that we still use today. But you know his whole story. He became blind at the age of 3. His father was a saddle maker, and it was a stitching awl, A-W-L, stitching awl that was used. And it slipped, and he rammed it into his eye. And because of the sympathetic nerve, the other eye, too, went blind, and he was left in total darkness. That was at the age of 3. At the age of 15, he decided to invent the raised system of lettering on a page so that the blind could read. Do you know what he used to create that system? A stitching awl. The same thing that had blinded him at 3, he used to help others see at 15. The curse became the cure. We are all just naked sinners. We try to hide that really well. We don't do a very good job. But we are all naked sinners. What is the cure? A naked Savior who offers his skin for us. So here's the challenge of the book of Romans. It's Romans chapter 16. It says this: put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Sorry, I want to get the reference right. It's Romans 13:14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk very directly to those of you who are Christians for just a moment. We still try to look nice and cover ourselves up. No, we don't need to do that anymore. Put on Christ. I want to talk to those of you who are not yet followers of Jesus. You're hoping people won't find out that you're messed up. This is a place where we all publicly admit that we are messed up. But we know that God literally has us covered in Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me and let's pray together today? God, Job prayed the same thing, that naked we are born and naked we will die. We can't cover up the fact that we are indeed messed up, that we experience shame with each other and guilt before you. But God, thank you that you have not expelled us, that you have not left us without protection. Just as you gave Adam and Eve the skins of animals, so you have given us the skin of Jesus Christ to cover our nakedness, to cover our deepest need for forgiveness, for protection, for power. I'm going to offer you this moment. If you have never put on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have never said, Jesus Christ is my Lord, put him on right now. God, thank you that you cover our shameful nakedness. And thank you that in Christ we are clothed, we are protected, we are given new life. We are given forgiveness, and we are given forever in your presence. God, we love you, and I pray that you would continue to clothe us all this week as we put on Christ. It's in his name that we offer our prayer. Amen. So in the first century church, in the early church, they would baptize only on Easter Sunday. And when they would baptize, a person would be baptized naked. Now, because of that, men and women were baptized separately. But as a person stepped into the waters of baptism, they would strip off their old clothes, and those clothes would be taken from them. They would enter the water naked. They would be baptized. And when they came out, the church would give them a brand new set of clothes, symbolizing putting on Christ, symbolizing putting on the new man. That is what is offered to you today. Now, we've changed our form of baptism, right? But the truth of it still remains, that we can be new people in Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. Every Sunday morning at the conclusion of worship, I offer this blessing to our people, and so I offer it to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.